All right, we're going to get started over here. If you want to join us or whatever, it's going to be hard to hear a little bit because of the wind. Hopefully, Vance, let us know if you can't hear us. I'll assume you're on mute and everything's good unless you pipe up and tell us it's not. We started with a little executive session to discuss a few items and have prayer. And so at this point, let's go ahead and welcome everybody that's here. Let's have anybody that's on the phone joining us by phone identify yourself and your lot number first so we can get you in the meeting minutes, and then we'll go around here at the ranch.
Vance,
Kathy
Green, 56.
Okay, thanks, Vance. And Kathy, we got you.
I'm a little Michael.
Michael, what lot number are you on?
Michael Jordison, 67.
Oh, hi, Michael. Thank you.
Anybody else on the phone?
Ron Littlefield, 274.
Welcome. Anybody else? I feel like an auctioneer when we go through this. 75, I got 75. Anybody's 80? All right, let's start with you over here, and let's identify ourselves and our lot just so we can get you in the meeting minutes. Great. Back there? Awesome.
Work together with John Machinsky, my father, Jeff Machinsky, Melissa, and lot 145.
145, welcome. Tammy? Awesome. I don't know that lady. Haven't seen you in a little while. Yeah, I don't blame you.
107.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Perfect. All right. We didn't get you. We better get you on the record. Awesome. Appreciate it. All right. Did we get everybody down there, Mariah?
Yes.
Great. Well, we appreciate you all being here, especially with the wind. I thought I was going to come up to a heavy rainstorm, but apparently that's going to be later this afternoon, but who knows. All right. Let's turn some time over to Kathy. Do you want Mariah to handle the approval of the meeting minutes since you're on the phone, or do you want to handle it?
No, Mariah can do that. That's great.
Okay, so for the meeting minutes, the board received the meeting minutes ahead of time. We did have some changes. Brad submitted some changes. To change to the minutes, there were no other submissions made. I have a copy of Brad's changes that I can share with you if you want to take a look at them. Otherwise, unless there's any other changes, I think we can go ahead and vote to approve.
Any discussion? I looked through them, and after the addition of the specifics that Brad wanted in the meeting minutes, which I think were good to clarify so we have a complete record, I didn't have any additions or changes. Anybody else?
I thought they're great.
I read them on the email. So.
Okay, I'll look for a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the previous executive meeting.
All right, we've got a motion and second. We're just going to ask if there's anybody opposed. Hearing none, it looks like the vote is unanimous to adopt the meeting minutes from the May 2020 meeting. All right, next we'll turn our time over to the money man, the man, the myth, legend in his own mind.
Yeah, I've lost most of the time. I've been up here for a few days, so I couldn't get into the internet, so Mariah, I'll have to have the numbers, but she called me the other day, and I can say that we were at 83% collection for our dues, and now we're a little over 90%, so we're doing pretty good. As far as how much money we got, Mariah's going to have to tell us.
Okay, in our checking account right now, we have $110,700. In our savings account, we have $59,000. And in the separate savings account, we have $4,200 remaining savings, so deposits.
Any questions from the members related to the finances and financial strength of the association at this point? Doesn't look like it.
I got one. Did you tell us the percentages of fees?
No. So right now, we have 283 lots with paid assessments. So that puts us at 94% this year.
Good.
What's the difference in the two? You say there's two different savings accounts, one with $59,000 and one with $4,200. What
right.
are those?
So the $59,000 is a special. Oh, sorry,
go ahead.
Okay, the $59,000 is our special revenue account where we drop everything and use it for special projects. It's also our long-term savings account in case of emergencies and so on and so forth. The other account is an account that was set up previous to this year as a benefit account.
All right.
We are not.
Fantastic. We had a couple of people join us. Why don't you introduce yourself and what lot you're associated with so that we can get you in the meeting minutes. Welcome. Glad to have you. How about that cowgirl next to you? We got to get you in the recording. That's true. Fantastic. All right. Any questions related to the finances? We've been very successful and fortunate and appreciate the members in this challenging financial time making their assessment payments. It makes everything easier for us to be able to move forward without having to worry about whether we're going to have the money to fund our budget. And while it's always tight, we appreciate the effort of everybody in making their payments. So, all right. We're going to switch things up a little bit. I'm going to ask, rather than the office report, we're going to have Kurt give us his report on the from the property management standpoint so he can attend to his barbecue mastery here in just a second. So we'll turn time over to Kurt.
We'll call mastery nothing here. The main thing I want everybody to know is the refrigeration. Brent's been doing a great job. We've been getting all the refrigerators working. We're at 100% on all the propane refrigerators in all the cabins. Justin McElfrain has got, we have left 6, 7, 8 in the garden cabins to put the new gas lines in. All of the other cabins are hard pumped now. We've had a few regulators on the tank that deliver 60 pounds of pressure to the wall of the cabin. And then we have a riser there that drops it to a half a pound, and it delivers a more consistent flow of propane into the cabin, which is also beneficial for the refrigerator and everything else that operates in there. Because propane weighs about 4 pounds a gallon, it's susceptible to temperature change and it's slow. So all these things are working out really well, and we should finish with all the gas lines this week. And that's about all I've got. It's what I've been focusing on, just cleaning up the ranch.
Fantastic. Any questions for Kurt on the status of the ranch or any of the maintenance that's going on?
And I want to mention Cinderella over here, who has really been my right arm in housekeeping. And checking in cabin 2, I went up and took the propane yesterday, and they said they've been coming up here for years, and they have just not seen the cabin next to them. So, thank you, Cindy.
Fantastic. Good. That's good. In addressing the gas lines, just so you those of you that are new and those of you that don't remember last year, we were looking at replacing a whole bunch of refrigerators. We had 4 or 5 of them down here because they weren't working, and the replacement refrigerators just under $2,000 to replace. And with the work of cleaning and readjusting the pressure and putting these new lines in, it costs us money to do that. But we've avoided, at least thus far, we've avoided having to buy a bunch of new refrigerators. and gotten them working. So it's a cost savings in the long run, and it will be better for each of the cabins. So we appreciate the work that's gone into that from Kurt, from Brent, from Justin, I didn't remember his name, the contractor, and everybody else that's been assisting in making that adjustment, and I think it will benefit all of the members and cabin users along the way, so we appreciate it. Anything else, Kurt?
That's all I've got.
All right. Let's go back to Mariah and turn some time over for the office report and hear how organized we are.
I don't have too much more to report other than we have three new members to the ranch. Bruce Kurt is on lot 223. I apologize in advance for my pronunciation. Russell Garcia, lot 259, and Joe Morgan, lot 265. And then just the last statistic for you. Right now, interestingly enough, we're at 52% of income for cabin reservations, which is actually 17% higher than we were last year at the same time. So that's another big positive for the ranch.
Fantastic. And we hope to keep upgrading and working on cabins to where they're cleaner and more, they're just better maintained than, I mean, we let things go for a long time, and I think we're just starting to kind of catch up. Thanks a lot to the I'm gonna forget people, so I apologize. But I know the Bozets have been involved as far as spearheading a bunch of work on Cabin 3. The Collins have certainly been involved there. Brent is involved in everything that happens at the ranch, and a lot of other volunteers. And then Kathy and Cabin 7 and all the repairs and work that went in there. And I apologize, I know I've forgotten and not mentioned a lot of names of a lot of people that have worked, but we really appreciate it. It makes a ton of difference. Yes?
So I've been in almost all the cabins, and I have to say that three is fantastic. Nothing in that seven is awesome. I've had that work that Joe and Andy and everybody else has paid off. I stay there.
How comfortable are the mattresses?
I don't think the mattresses were in there.
That's the only thing I had anything to do with. I called somebody on the phone. That's my extent of my help. Hey, I need some mattresses.
Oh, wait,
no. Oh, yeah. That's all I needed.
That's kissing up real well. Good for you.
Cabin 3
has
been renovated to a point that Joe and I and our family went in and removed all the ugly wallpaper. Painted everything downstairs. All new furniture downstairs. Everything. Brand new kitchen. All new silverware, dishes, pots and pans. And then I was going to get to that. then we had enough money in the budget to go ahead and buy these mattresses. Four queen bed. Box springs and mattresses, deep in, brand new pillows I bought, brand new bed protectors. So when you go in that cabin, and it's of course because of what Tina just did, all new floor, all downstairs. So I mean, it looks, I've got some pictures, it really looks good, it's new, it's clean, it's updated. I think everybody will feel comfortable. Joe and the family. After we dug out, we'll see an area so that the dirt wasn't just sitting on top of the cabin. That's all been dug out. We've got great big blocks there, and then we had to get some red rock down there. So, I mean, it has been working, but it looks good, and I hope that everybody that goes in it understands the amount of time that was spent and how good it looks. Kind of like with Cindy and with Kurt, we kind of like to get some ideas going. To take like one cabin a year or something and go in there and really do what we need to do on it. And I think in the long run, if we're taking care of what we have done, everyone can say, I don't care which cabin I sit in. They all look good, they all feel good. So thank you to everybody who participated and got these things going because it is, everything is worth it.
fantastic. And it, again, a lot of participation. Kathy's son Brad did the dirt work up there. I've forgotten. I mean, that was not very long ago, but I forgot about moving that out and
a lot of people
putting
involved
in drainage. And so I apologize if I forgot to mention you, but we really appreciate everything that's gone into the cabin, and we want to continue that. Except people.
And then inside the other cabin, like cabin one of the couches, we didn't want to keep in there because it was dirty. It's out. J.T. Williger donated a couch to put in there. The chairs in cabin two didn't look good, so Joe and I donated some chairs to put in there with the switches. We put in some new furniture down here. Kurt
fantastic, and we again appreciate everybody at the ranch. So there's always going to be upkeep that needs to happen, things that need to be done. If you come out and get bored, there are always projects that we can help out with. So part of what makes the ranch is everybody chipping in a little bit and working together to try to keep it maintained and move forward. So we appreciate it.
Okay. Go ahead. In reference to Kurt, he didn't mention it on his report. We found all the smoke detectors and hydrocarbon detectors were still in the storage unit. Kurt installed them all in all the cabins yesterday, so all of them now have new smoke detectors.
Now,
we bought those things last spring. We're told that they were installed. Zero. So now that is something else that we're trying to get done that is very good.
Yeah, it's important that we keep safe. That was one of the things that last year we had the cabins all evaluated for safety by a professional third party, and that was one of the things that stuck out most was making sure that we had smoke detectors and CO2 detectors.
And they're now installed. So.
And good. So we're good there. Kurt also didn't toot his own horn on what he's been able to do for the store, that it's still a work in progress, but it looks fantastic. A lot more space than there used to be there. You having a hard time hearing me? All right, I'll try to turn it up a little bit. I said Kurt didn't toot his own horn on the store and what he's been able to do there as well. So we'll keep working on things to try to make them better, make the headquarters cleaner and better. But the cabins has been a focus and needs to continue to be a focus on our efforts and money. All right. Anything else in your office report, Mariah?
No, unless there's any questions.
Any questions for the administrative operation of the ranch, reservations, anything like that? All right. Without hearing any, we'll move on to airport discussion. On it, Larry, are you going to lead that?
I can. In the past, Phil Hall has been kind of the, I guess, airport committee.
The go-to guy.
One man band. Phil, as many of you know, has given up his license because of health reasons. And so not much, if anything, has been done on the airstrip for a couple of years. Jeff Masinski is leasing and working toward buying lot 145 right at the north end of the airstrip and is a pilot and has been involved in, maybe I'll let him explain who he is and what he is, but he would like to work with the ranch in upgrading or maintaining a safer, better airstrip. And I thought it would be appropriate to possibly work him into that, the old Phil Hall type position, and work in conjunction with, and I just forgot his name, our other pilot.
Doyle.
Doyle Anson and his son both are pilots. I don't know of anybody else on the ranch that's a pilot, but my advice or my counsel would be that those people that are more involved in that than the rest of us form a committee of the airstrip or whatever. So if you wouldn't mind, Jeff, you want to introduce yourself. And I had sent information about him to all the board members on who he is and a little of his background, but he could explain to the overall membership what he's done with airports in the past.
Do you mind coming up here and taking my chair so those on the phone can hear what you say? I'll move down. Get out of your way.
Hi, everybody. Jeff Mashinsky, from San Diego County. I actually live up in the mountains just east, a town called Alpine. My father's with me. He's from up the Cave Creek area, just north of Phoenix. He was a pilot back in the day, and I sort of learned from him. In 1986, I got my commercial multi-engine instrument and got in the aviation business. I owned an airport just on the northwest side of Washington, D.C., myself and two partners, and we built it up over the years. And like most businesses that any of you all have started yourself, it overcame myself and my partners, and so I sold out around the mid-90s and moved out west. So I've been in the San Diego mountain area ever since, but have still kept up with aviation. I have two planes there, one not really suited for this strip here, but one a high-wing Cessna 182, if you know anything about planes, a four-seater, and have been touring the area really by air, and came across Deer Springs Ranch and fell in love with it, like I suspect many of you all have, and met Dale and Mariah and Danielle and Larry and Jeff, your brother-in-law, and just really liked the community and the folks. We came up here first week of April, been up here four or five times since. In fact, my wife, Eliandra, and my two teenage kids, we were all up here last weekend. So again, we just fell in love with it. But if we were going to come in by air, you know, on a 182, I was suggesting to Dale and the group and Larry that the airstrip just needs a little better upkeep. And I offered to basically fund that effort, you know, with Larry's help and a grader and a water truck that we bring in from town to water it and roll it with a vibro roller and sort of keep it up for better, safer keeping long term for those that are in the community that would use it as a strip. Dale had shared with me, I guess, pilot had come in at one point a few years ago, and because it hadn't been kept up quite as well, had damaged one of the wings. Is that correct, Dale? Something to that effect.
Yeah.
They had to disassemble it and part it out. And of course, I wouldn't want to be the victim of such a similar incident, so I took responsibility to make sure it would be kept in safe and working condition, and obviously with my background in running airports and stuff in the past, I'd certainly know what's involved in the grading and certainly in the upkeep of it and keeping it a safe aviation-related type of extra activity for the community.
Any questions? Any thoughts or input from the membership as to what you think? I mean, I know it's kind of new to you what we're talking about a little bit. Go ahead.
I'm all in favor and do what I can to help. I've got two sons working on the private side. My nephew's in flight. My son is in Canab. That's quite often. I'll come out here. You don't want to land 182 without the air system better. So.
Right. Oh, your son is as a 182 also? Yeah, a 182 though, right? Yeah, so he knows exactly the concern. Well, Larry and I have talked about it. I mean, I'll let Larry's comment more, but in my opinion, you know, a blade, a grader coming through with a water truck for about a day and then a vibro roller rolling it, I offered that probably once a year, I'd either have a vibro roller brought out and rent it. I posted them out in St. George. They said they'd ship one out here for $300 and let me use it for a day for $300 and then take it back out for $300. But, again, this would be my cost. If the ranch wanted to pitch in a little bit, that would be great. But, obviously, my biggest concern is for those that... Yeah.
In times past with different improvements than we've... And I obviously can't speak for everybody or the board, but we've contributed fuel, which is a big part of the cost of doing some of that kind of stuff, or manpower whenever we can. So I personally would be open to it. I don't know why we would turn somebody down and helping us improve what we have. Any objections out there? Go ahead.
When I was younger, my father had a 182, and he used a night bottom.
I think it's going to be a kind of a short-term, long-term. I think the long-term vision would be that the strip itself should probably be fenced off. I don't know what it would need to be. Yeah, well, even, I know when I play in Alaska, a lot of times we have to buzz the strip and chase the bears off so we can land.
I think my position is I think that we would favor, like we have with a lot of other things, having a few interested parties form a committee with one member of the board that sits on that committee. And they come and say, this is what we think needs to happen. We vote and approve or disapprove or ask questions and move forward. That's the reason not to. And we would have some board input, member input as we went along the way, but mainly having the experts decide what needs to happen and figuring out how to make it happen. Any other questions or concerns?
I know a big role.
All right. Well, I think it's a positive direction to move. I think that what we need to do is take a little bit of time just to determine who might serve on that committee. And if you have any interest in serving on that committee, then let us know. But the sooner the better. I mean, we might as well get on it and see what we can do to improve that airstrip that has been maintained somewhat from time to time. But I think it's time. As long as we have it, we might as well have it in good shape. Yes, sir.
I'm wondering with your expertise. Some buses just slowing down. I think time is critical, and to encourage him to move as quickly as he could. I don't know if any of us know enough about flying or airport constraints very much.
Well, I think we just want to know what the plan is and where things are going. And we
right. How did you find? How did you find for the time being? If he can work with Larry, he has some equipment experience here to go ahead and do whatever improvements that they can. It doesn't cost the ranch anything other than possibly contributing fuel. I don't know why we would. Any concerns? Yeah, John.
No, I agree we ought to do something about it. That, you know, it's on the U.S. Geological Survey, which if there's a pilot in trouble out there, it needs a safe place. There's no other reason it ought to be maintained enough of that. So we have it. It's there. It's listed. And some people may have to count on it besides whoever's out here. So I'm in favor of doing something.
Yeah, to that point, it's listed on the FAA charts. If you're on any type of either commercial or private flight plan and you're passing over this area, you'll see it. And it is listed as an emergency strip. So they don't require, the FAA doesn't require specific requirements in terms of maintaining private strips like that. But it is listed as an emergency place to land.
So I would entertain a motion right now for this year to authorize you guys to go ahead and Larry and you to work with possibly the other pilots or not to move forward with whatever improvements. Again, if it doesn't cost the ranch anything and it improves the asset, I don't see any reason not to move ahead. Brad seconds my motion.
I will abstain.
Yeah, all right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Kathy, are you in favor?
Aye.
Hey, yeah, you guys, I'm always up. This is a beautiful area to tour from the air, as you guys probably already know. It's gorgeous. In fact, I was trying to get my dad to go up this morning, but he wanted his coffee.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, perfect. Next item on the agenda, if we can hear. All right. Annual meeting. Mariah?
Yes.
Time to discuss the annual meeting. You want to leave the discussion on that?
Yeah, I'll leave the discussion. One more quick thing going back to improvements. I wanted to just mention that Denise's floor is donating a chair to Cabin 7, and we just recently purchased a fuel tank from OMB. They gave it to us at a good price. I just want to make sure that was on there, too.
We appreciate you giving us a good price. I don't think you can hear us.
No, you're talking now.
But we know.
All right. Well, I think that was a good purchase. I was a little slow in responding. But you can't ever have enough fuel space in a place this far out in the boonies.
Well,
so.
And plus, if I'm not mistaken, we've got
That's
and
fantastic.
Plus, if I'm not mistaken, the tank, we have a damaged tank. It needs to be replaced.
Right.
So it's timely.
Those tanks, Kevin, we know that.
Yeah.
Those used tanks.
We know the tank is damaged.
That's
we know it leaks. We know that for
red.
Sure. There was, one leak.
So we don't fill it up.
Put it back where the other tank is and put it somewhere else.
That was supposed to be a board decision. It hasn't been made yet.
Really?
The tank is, so it was a little bit slow. They thought they were going to have to go in.
Vance, is that you?
Well, hey, is that an option?
I can't
hear it. It's somebody else dialing back in.
Okay, sorry. I thought somebody had some input. Let's take a second and discuss the location where we should put the new tank so that we can make that decision and move on with it rather than keep
moving
around.
Has any ideas been brought up?
Well, yes, Kurt had one. I don't know where he and Brent were talking about it. I don't know what they decided.
Does anybody have any suggestions we can simply pass along to Kurt? I think I would leave it up to his discretion to make a final decision. I don't know that it's a huge deal, but if you have any input, let's
Well, I know the tank right now that we use is buried in the hill right here, right?
Yeah.
And so we run it from here to our dispenser, so we have lines that are that far away. So unless we can put it somewhere closer to that,
so we don't have to run that much line, but.
Is it? I don't even know. What kind of tank did you sell us, Roland? Is it a tower-type tank, an on-the-ground, but not a burial? Okay.
I think it's illegal to bury any fuel tank anymore.
In Utah, it is.
Well, in Arizona, Nevada and Utah, it is.
In Arizona, they still allow it, but...
Kirk,
we don't have any electricity.
You have any
there,
suggestions
right?
on where we put where you put the new fuel tank?
Yeah, right over here. I just passed the beach. If you dig it out, we can eliminate the whole gas line here. And my only question on it was, does it have to be in the ground?
It can't be underground.
Cannot bury it.
Is that the closest place to the dispenser? Is that the closest place to the dispenser?
Yeah.
Will you dispense up there instead of down here?
Yeah, we'll dispense right at the tank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this gas line goes inches below the tank. So this way we eliminate
the whole thing.
Yeah. Eliminate the whole. And then when we go to fill it again, all we got to do is
gravity feed. And it's going to be used for diesel?
No,
gas. It will replace what we have now.
Yes. The concern with the current tank is for diesel.
I should have gone green.
Okay.
Yes.
Right away, watch you look.
You did good.
Well, we've already got 2,000 gallons of ethanol-free fuel in this tank. Yeah, so we'll just transfer that over, and then if it's still reasonable, we can add more to it. It is going to take $2 to build the forms, because we got to make them really solid, 3/4-inch plywood, CDX, stuff like that. So probably about $300-$400 in material plus the cost, which we can fix here. Yeah, I'd rather just have it solid, and then we make it. It'll be just like a gas station.
He says you can just put gravel instead of concrete.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm trying to get a little elevation on it so that gravity feed out of it. That's all.
Didn't we use those?
If I form them, then I can form them to fit the tank. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you make the best decision possible to make it stable and permanent. Well, it's all good.
Okay.
Oh, cool. All right.
Thank you, Roland, for the price on that.
Well, I think he'll have to look at the cost and try to determine what makes sense. Thank you, though. All right, let's go through the board members and have a report on each of your area of responsibility. Unless there's something else we need to discuss.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were done with that.
Okay, so annual meeting, mainly I just wanted to just give an update. We're going to be starting to send out requests for nominations. We will have 4 seats available on the board this year. You'll be receiving your packet first part of July, board. I'd love to put together a newsletter if we can for them to send out with this mailing. Otherwise, we'll be receiving those nominations, and then by the end of July, we should have our candidates in place, and then we'll start preparing the next mailing, which will be all of the voting information and the new candidates. So, the seats available will be Barry Carson, Brad Hunt, Joe Bose, and I think it's Kathy Pierce.
Did everybody get your email and save the date for the annual meeting.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. I'm first on the list. My area, first of all, is the legal. I just reported in our executive session that we had 5 accounts to collect, and 4 of those have been collected in within a week or two. And the only one that hasn't been collected on, I had the wrong address, so they don't still know that they're late. So that's on me. As far as legal, that's about it right now. Water, just so you guys know, and there are several people that know more about this, what's going on than I do, but we've had some difficulty with generators. The backup generator we got running very well, got it taken care of. The primary generator is still having a few issues that quite honestly are way above my pay grade. So I don't know. Brent is working on it regularly, and I think they've had success in getting it up and running, but I think there are still maybe some adjustments that have to be made. Anybody know more about the generator issue than what I've expressed?
Well, you know, the RPMs were a little low, so I helped Brent set the RPM, so it was working better. But there was a part that the repairman said we should order that would fix another problem we have, and we put the part on that didn't fix it. We called the guy back, and he said he may have to come back out and reanalyze it and check it over again. So we're still up in the air on diagnosing.
I can tell you this. If not for Brent and Joe and a few other experts, that we would be spending a lot more money on maintaining equipment and cabins and other things than what we do. We just really can't say enough about the volunteers and people that are willing to dedicate their time while they're up here on vacation to make things work. The generator, finding leaks, whether it's walking water lines and finding where there are leaks. As I said, a ranch is a ranch. It always requires maintenance. There's no such thing as, okay, we'll get to the end and get all the work done and then we can play. You have to do both at the same time or else a ranch doesn't function. So we appreciate everybody's work there. Yes?
Joe had a really good idea for the water at the 40,000-gallon tank. If there are problems with the pad where the tank is empty and you don't know that it's empty, he's come up with a pretty good idea. He talked also to Vance Green, and I think it should be something that kind of talk about. It may not cost that much money, but it's something that would be a safety feature that would be workable for the ranch and could be put in no time at all.
What it amounts to is I called Vance, and with technology we have nowadays, I was thinking of putting a red light on top of the 40,000-gallon tank. When it got below halfway, a red light would come on, and anybody that sees it comes down and tells Kurt, hey, there's a red light on the tank, then he can go up and check and see what's going on. But we haven't come up with the – Vance wanted to do it through the computer through Wi-Fi, which is a good way, but I just thought a red light on top saying, hello, here I am. We're working on it.
A couple of weeks ago, it was down again to nothing. The whole bottom, lower cabin, ranch, yard, had no water again. And this is just something that we want to have continue to make the members come here and expect to be able to have a nice vacation. They can't shower, they can go to the bathroom. So it would be something that be a couple of $100 maybe, but it's something that maybe the board thinks is appropriate. That's something that could be put to use in the next, you know, month or two. Put it in effect. This isn't the first time that it's happened. It's happened numerous times.
I think if you had some kind of a float system that either turned on a light or raised a flag, then people driving by would see it much more easily. And again, the low tank occurred because we had a problem with the generator and pump, and fortunately we were able to get it worked out, but that is an issue. And just so you know, when it gets down below a certain point, some of the members that are actually connected into that system have to their whole system goes haywire because it runs out of water and runs all their lines dry.
Yeah.
So basically, is the board in agreement to have some kind of a system worked out, is there money in the budget that it can be done, and we can move forward with it? Like the Air Force, can we move forward with it?
I think so. Anybody have an objection to having some type of a notice system when the tank is low?
I think it'd be great. Just let us know how much money it's going to cost.
It should be something fairly simple, and it wouldn't hurt to have a visible kind of the manual system and also a computer. I mean, there are people on the ranch right now that get an alert in Texas or Florida or New York. Somebody drove past my property. How do they know that? Well, there's either a sensor or a camera or a Wi-Fi, or if you had a little solar panel keeping the battery charged to send the signal and send you an email.
Yeah, I was thinking of a red light on the tank and maybe a red light on the gate when you're going down the gravel pit, because everybody goes past that gravel pit, and they'd see it.
Over here. Yeah, what was your name? We didn't get you on the list.
Sorry, I'm talking to Karen.
Okay, we're going to forgive you for being BYU fans. But, yes, that's a good idea, even from BYU fans. That's right. Yeah, no doubt. No, I think you're right.
How much money?
I would say, this is just me, but I would say if it's under $500, then just get it done.
I agree.
I would expect it could be quite a bit less than that.
Aye.
Any objections, John? Okay, get her done. One question I have that I'm over, but I don't know the answer to. Where are we at on the water hauling station and J stand?
I think that kind of took a back seat a little bit with all the nonsense that Brent's been dealing with the generator and cabin gas lines and back and forth. Where is he, by the way?
I don't know. He said he was going to be here. I don't know.
I think if we can keep moving forward on that, then that would be great. So
I brought the temporary ones that I bought. I brought out here, and he was looking at it to decide what parts and pieces to swap out. But then we've had so many other things going that it's taken the back seat.
Good, fair enough. All right. Kurt, we're going to skip him because he's cooking lunch, and he already gave his report. Kathy, do you have anything you want to bring up in your area over cabins and or any other comments on the ranch?
I'm sorry I wasn't able to be there. We kind of scheduled for open house on Cabin 7. I don't know if Cabin 3 might be a good idea to open them both up so people can view them, but make this where they're doing the barbecue there. But anyway, I was not able to be there, so I just told them to do the barbecue with you guys down there at the ranch headquarters. But anyway, that just needs to be opened up. And then I just had a suggestion for Mariah that with all of the specialized things that, you know, some of our members, when we get a new membership, I would suggest that we put or ask if they have any specialties that maybe it could help us with the ranch. And that might open some more doors for help.
Is there a questionnaire we send out to new members where they could voluntarily give us information on their particular expertise or an area that they desire to participate or help out in?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's a good
idea. Just on the welcome package, I thought.
You're sending them a new member welcome package?
Yep, I can invite them then.
Perfect. Good idea, Kathy. Thank you. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Joe, anything from you?
No, I'm done.
That's the best news all day. I'm just messing with you. John, Rhodes, anything else?
Well, I know that I have a couple issues going over in the Poda and Rhodes and over in the Slide area there. I've been made aware of a couple place there. Need a little work. I haven't gone all over the ranch yet to see what all is needed. I do have one question. I need to look at those steps about what to be done. I know what to do. You and I were talking about it a little earlier. But now, as far as getting the stuff, I know that Ferg is willing to is doing what he can, but I know he's also very busy. So we need to take care of it a little faster. Thank you.
I talked to Frank Banks, Kurt's friend that has graded out here before, years ago, and he may be available to come out and grade some also.
My question is this. We've had a freeze. We now know we're at 94%. Am I going to have to go through the board on everything, or I go as usual?
Here's my opinion. I would say at this point, with still things unknown, I would think 50 to 75% of your usual, but I still hold back a little bit on anything that's not.
I can do that. I just need to look at it. There's no way that I'm going to be able to pinpoint exactly how much it's going to cost to do this.
Right.
It's a time and material thing, if you will. So if I can scoot around that here and we'll save stuff to the end.
I just be wise.
Yeah, well,
just be cautious.
And I'm not worried about that.
I'm always a tight one.
Do any of the members now? I'd like to have just a minute. If any of the members have any suggestions or concerns as to roads, right now is a chance for you to hammer him while you got him where he can't run away. Are there any specific?
I gotta go to the restroom.
are there any areas on roads that are an issue? Obviously, none of us drive every road every day, but any trouble spots we need to be aware of? Other than Podunk, and where else did you say you're aware of something?
Up in Slide. I think it's Mountain Lion Road is one of them. And there's an email there. What was that one again, Mariah, the name?
Tustin Lion.
Over in the 300, yeah. 300 series, lower southwest White Canyon.
I know I got two places over there. I promised one that I would get this year. I talked to him last, and if they were the season.
Anybody have any other places they want to make us aware of?
Well, I got to get back to the screen.
Couple hundred yards.
I don't have any gravel right now. I have my gravel don't do it. And I have a hole. But it is great.
And I think you got a comment right here.
Yeah, they talked to me about that.
Hey, John. Are you aware of that spot that Tammy Levitt brought up last fall that there was an issue over in Slide Canyon?
The hole?
Yeah, I think it was, right in the road.
Well, there was a hole over there that Brent and I had repaired a few years ago. And if it's the same one, apparently the repair is washed out again. And it's close to the middle of the road. So just close.
That seems kind of like a priority, and I know that a member had been asking about it, Danny Levitt. So I'm just making you aware.
Yeah, well, she hadn't said anything.
The spot that was where the culvert, the two sections had been letting water through, that's not a problem. I mean, I drive across it almost every day, and it's not.
It's okay.
Yeah, for me.
But yeah, it was a separation between the culverts there, about that far, and it keeps washing in, and it's more of a bump, a sinkhole, right? Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll
be looking at some of those things later. John and I are going to take a little tour.
Brad.
Sure.
What do you got?
I took about half the meeting last week or last month, so all the same issues are there. I had a question about the backhoe. We have some erosion problems, and that big bucket is way better to move if you're going to move a bunch of dirt around than that little bucket is. Are we hardening that bucket, or is that just going to sit there, or what are we doing on the big bucket on the backhoe?
We need to find the parts and pieces.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll follow up with Don Ray and find out what the deal is there.
On the whole part?
From my understanding, they needed to harden it. So they need to take it and add a plate in there or something.
The 3-foot backhoe bucket was kind of destroyed and torn up and needed to be repaired.
That needs major work.
Yeah.
I just gave Kurt some new teeth for that backhoe. He hadn't had a chance to put them on, but I had a couple extras of those.
Double.
And that one will work, but it's just like eating soup with the teaspoon, you know? It's a lot better to eat with the soup spoon than it is with the teaspoon.
You won't eat like a cowboy.
Okay, I have one question for you, unless you have something else.
What?
Did you have a chance to look? I know we had quite a discussion last time about the cows in the fish pond area, and I know I heard, I don't know who told me, you guys are looking at the fences and what could be closed off to isolate the fish pond area. Did you make any decisions there, or what did you find?
Yeah, we've started some work up on the places where the cows can get in outside of the road area, and that's going to be pretty easy to fix. Kurt cleaned it out for me, and we'll be fixing that here probably even this week. And I haven't looked down at the top one. We might have to go down and clean a little bit out. I did notice quite a big erosion crack going through the meadow there between the ponds. It's heading out toward the mountain. Have you seen that? So we maybe need to take a look at that again and maybe put some rocks in or do some movement over there. But we should be able to do that. We also have two cattle guards that I believe the ranch owns, right? And there's a gate. There's a cattle guard on one side of the pond, and it needs to be cleaned out. But it also needs to be a little bit wider because you can jump across it. The cows can jump across it if they wanted to get across it or not. And so if we could widen that, if we could take one of the cattle guards maybe and then cut a piece off, and widen that cattle guard and maybe use the other on the other side of the cattle guard or up the other side of the pond and then put two cattle guards. Temporarily right now, if there's an issue, there's a gate right there and it's sitting right there. All you got to do is unlock the gate. If we fence the rest of it out, then you pull the gate closed. The problem is everybody going up to the cabin has to get out and open the gate. And it's a wire gate and it's not a swing gate. So I think we ought to put a cattle guard in there, or we ought to, if we can't do that and we have a problem, then we can pull the swing gate or the wire gate closed temporarily. But we maybe ought to consider a real light swing gate, very easy for anybody to open and shut or whatever. I don't know how much traffic goes up and down the road into those cabins. I guess it depends on the week. But if there's nobody in those cabins, then I think the gate ought to just be closed unless somebody goes into the cabins and they can determine whether they open it or not. The cows are closed off from the cattle guard in the road to the cattle guard at the bottom of the meadow. And so if you're trying to keep them out from that area anyway, but if they go over the cattle guard in the road and they get up against the other one, repair the fences and the gate on the upper meadow cattle guard last week, and so cows can't get from the meadow down into there unless they jump the cattle guard, but they can't get to the fence anymore right there, and so we're working on it basically.
Good. You got something, John?
I have a question. You said wider. Is it got to be wider and longer or just wider?
Just wider.
Okay. I got two. I got a cattle guard, 2 feet
cattle guard up on Pipeline. We were at one time was thinking about putting that on that road up there, but I think there some discussion came up that maybe they put a bigger one there. Can those be utilized there somehow?
That's what we were talking about, stealing your cattle guards and...
Well, now, wait a minute.
Putting them in there.
Well,
I'd just look at it and see if that, I don't know enough about them to whether you can mix and match and add from one to the other or not.
And I got two concrete blocks left there for that. They ended up stealing mine for that cabin over there. But
it really helps if the cattle guards are cleaned out, because mostly it's appearance. So if it appears to be impenetrable,
yeah, but I've
even
seen
though it isn't, then
jump a cattle guard.
Then they,
I can't believe how far those.
A lot of the cattle guards on the ranch are kind of homemade. We build them out here and weld it, and they're not.
Yeah.
They're not wide enough or long enough.
But if those were split or just set side by side, we don't care if it's wide from here to you.
Yeah, I think they're like 14, and if we add three or four more. So if we cut one up, and then we can fix the cattle guards on the ranch so they actually guard cattle, and so they function, and so the cattle can't get from one side to the other, then we can eliminate that.
Well, let's take those in. But what about the pipeline there, that right at the end there? I heard some discussion there talking about doing something there, and one of them was a gate. The gate was kept open and what have you. And there was some discussion about a cattle guard, but it's come up that, well, cattle guards are expensive. Are you still thinking about that?
Doesn't matter to me.
What
matters is the ones that are in, if they're ineffective, if we try to make them effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, let's go ahead and take that. Let's go ahead and take mine and go over and make that effective.
I'll watch. I've seen a lot of cattle guards on auction from New Mexico and Arizona, and I should have bought a bunch of the Arizona ones because they were cheap in Flagstaff. They're the Forest Service regulation. They're 8 feet.
DOT sometimes comes up 16
feet.
We do need to get a big one there at that gate at on Pipeline.
Yeah, we just want them to stop cows.
Yeah, well,
we need them to stop the cow.
Been there, hasn't been stopped.
Then we can control where they go. But I think with the fencing there, and then especially with the gate that's already in existence just sitting there, we can keep cows out of the pond area.
Out of the pond area, but I'm not.
Fish ponds. And
are you talking about the red pond or the lower pond?
Fish ponds.
Fish ponds.
You're talking
okay.
about the fish ponds. We want to make that a more member-friendly area back in there. And so we're trying to make it so they don't have to fight off cows to go fishing.
Yeah.
Or if they want them to play softball. It's been brought up that they'd like to see that mowed and actually groomed back up in there. And so if we could take the brush hog up maybe and cut the grass that's up there and, you know, try to take care of that area a little bit, turn it into a picnic area, softball, a family outing area. Areas that we can use, and which I think it's time that we have a recreation responsibility on the board, and so somebody on the board could be over recreation, and so they'd be over the fishing, they'd be over the playground area, they'd be over the petting zoo, they'd be
organized
over
activities.
Whatever recreational things that we can do for our members, I think we ought to make that a board responsibility and add that to a responsibility. And so we have somebody where to go with their ideas, but then somebody has that responsibility as the board, and then the board is more likely to act if somebody has a responsibility to make that happen.
I think that's a good idea.
Are you volunteering?
There has been discussions. there have been discussions and demands, and we need to do it. That's all there is to it. Yes. Mariah?
Yeah?
Would you contact whoever runs Porta Potties in Kanab and make sure that they bring us one and service it?
Yeah.
We had one there before that never got serviced, and that's worse than not having one at all.
Yep.
And
we had one there, and then Paul and Nancy were servicing it. And, yeah, I was going to say, Kurt needs to be in on
Cindy, with the porta potties in town, I asked her about it. They have them on trailers, and it's a lot cheaper for us if we put it out there, and then I drive it to town, and they service it, and then I drive it back out.
So when can you have that done?
I'll talk to her Monday. Yeah.
I agree. That's something
Thank
that
you.
Fell through the cracks. I'm glad you reminded
Thank
us. Because I would have gotten an earful next week. Yes, eventually the idea, we talked about it before. How many of you guys have been up Red Cliff Loop up at the top?
Yeah.
You seen that porta potty that's right there by the Forest Service? That's what we want to have by the fish ponds eventually, but you know, money's money.
Do we add that to our wish list, Mariah?
I can, yeah.
Okay.
Where am I putting it?
Right there by pond number one.
Oh, okay. I thought you said we don't have one.
Between pond one and two.
Okay, I'll figure it out.
Yes. Yes, that's the idea. It's probably not going to happen this year, but it's something that we want to focus on. A nice block building. They can pump it out. It doesn't have to have a septic system or anything like that.
In the vault.
Just get it done. Yes, ma'am.
I know there was a discussion the last meeting for the fish, the pond.
That's coming up.
Okay. The second one is for Mr. Sun. What's your schedule for the chemical spraying this year so we don't get behind and not be able to do it?
For what?
Chemical spraying.
Spraying the weeds.
Spraying the weeds.
You can't spray now until we have a hard freeze.
It's a temperature sensitive.
So we missed it this year again.
No, we missed it last year.
Yeah.
And so, oh, thistles, a different story.
No.
No, thistles,
I'm talking about
rabbit brush.
The big machine that was gone.
Yeah, we have to wait now. We have to wait now, but I'd like to get with Kurt. There's a couple of patches on the airport that the airport is pretty much free of rabbit brush. With the exception of two places, and we didn't mow them before, we kind of saved them, and I'd like to do some experimentation. They're not very large, but we could do some of that, and if that happened to work, then we can do what we want on our own. But what we'd like to have happen is
I spent a lot of pounds on the
getting cost share
that we were supposed to do it and we didn't do it. Supposed to do it, we didn't do it. I mean, the areas were looking really good after Mr. Clarkson here had somebody go through and mow it down. It's starting to not look as nice as it did before, and I know that that's something that needs to be done. And if it's a temperature issue, then what can we do to schedule it? Because I've heard this 3 or 4 years now.
I think the biggest problem, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the biggest problem this year was we had snow and then mud that nobody could get into, and then the next week it was warm. So there wasn't a season where it was accessible when the temperature was right. That doesn't mean we need to keep putting it off. It just needs to happen.
The manicure, as we're talking about the ranch, and getting rid of some of these weeds, I think it should be a priority as some of these other things are.
There's two kind of separate issues. For visually looking, just to mow it,
which we could
it
do.
It looks really good.
It's supposed to chemical spray right
but it is almost detrimental.
Yeah.
Double the cost. If we mowed it right now, it would look good, and it would be good. It's actually. If you can't afford to spray it, which we haven't been able to, then that's what you do.
That's the best effort you can make.
You just mow it down so it reduces the plant, so all the grasses and everything around it can compete for the water and everything else. And but we have the funds, so we're gonna mow it and we're gonna kill it.
And then we don't have to mow it again because it's not going to be there because we killed it.
So what is the plan for having it mowed? I mean, we've gotten to a point where Kurt doesn't have 5 minutes.
No, we're not,
we're
not planning on mowing until fall.
Fall.
Yeah, it's going to be fall before we kill. You know, there's other things we can kill. This one we're going to attack. But the rabbit brush, you can't attack until fall. But we're going to experiment on some patches. And if it happened to work, then there's some areas that we could do on our own. But if we do it on our own and we don't kill during the most optimum time, then there's no chance of us getting reimbursement funds for the chemical that we spend. It's about $30 an acre.
So I agree with you. It needs to be a priority and on the schedule so that as we go around to the fall, that we don't miss the opportunity again.
And we could mow some areas. If there's an area that people have a real big issue with, we could go brush hog at, which would be, we can't do hundreds of acres. So we have hundreds of acres that we need to maintain that hasn't had the maintenance. But we're ready. We're ready for it.
All right, any questions for Kurt?
Brad.
Any questions for Kurt, too?
I'm happy with Kurt answering.
All right, Larry, you're it.
Okay, we've already kind of discussed some of the airport stuff that I've been dealing with a little bit. Fish will be delivered Wednesday. So if anybody wants to come and watch fish swim out of a... Yeah. I don't know the time yet.
You know,
I can.
$2,500. Oh, it keeps going up, man.
The fish itself was like $2,100, but the delivery. So, what they're doing is bringing us as much poundage as they can for $2,500, which they'll be committed to pay. They will be a mix of 12-inch to 16-inch fish. And throw in a few big ones.
For the lottery.
We're going to tag those with a special microchip, and whoever catches those gets $1 million prize. I am going to be looking at some of the road issues. Kathy had brought up a specific issue over in Podunk where one owner has blocked off a DS ROA road, which accesses another lot, which we have happen every once in a great while, but members need to be aware of the roads that exist. Can't be blocked off unless you're the only person that accesses that road. I'm actually working on screening more material for John for roads and have an agreement with a guy to actually bring in a crusher, and so we may end up with a crusher set up here to crush rock instead of screen rock, which would be really, really cool. Other than that, I don't have any other things to report this month.
Any questions for Larry?
I'm done with Larry, but I got one question.
Go ahead.
Everybody concur that recreation would be a good thing to add to the board?
Yeah. Yep.
So can we make a motion that we make somebody responsible for?
I don't think we need a motion, but Mariah, will you list that as an additional position? And let's talk in our next executive session as to who will fill that spot.
I volunteered at one time to be over the ordering of the fuel, and then I kind of got unvolunteered or whatever. But I think a board member needs to be responsible for fuel, and so they can be watching for the best prices, because we almost missed it, and it could have cost us a bunch of money. We saved money by buying fuel at the very low end of the fuel cost, which is usually in January. Somebody was responsible for that. We add that to some board members' responsibility. Maybe Joe's. He's over the machine.
If the board is, if the man isn't reelected, what happens?
Stays with whoever that responsibility is, or you keep it.
I think it's good to have somebody that's their designated task to certainly watch prices, and that's not something that I can do. Quite honestly, I thought you were still doing it.
I think Mariah's been doing it because she's in town.
But I think we need to have a regular discussion as it's time to order fuel each time as to where things are at, so that there is board input on that, because I don't want to put extra pressure on Mariah to have to make that decision one way or the other.
I'm happy to take that responsibility if you want me to, but I'm happy just if anybody else takes it also. But somebody should have it so we can say, hey, Larry, how come we didn't order fuel at $2 and now we're paying $3.25?
Let's put that on the agenda for the next executive session.
What's the point of the tank is refilled? What's the local?
Hopefully we have enough to last to see the season when we order it.
Okay.
And so then you're watching for when the price is going to lowest. And, you know, it's kind of
when the price gets to the lowest, you're only 100 gallons down to 500 gallon tank, you buy another 100 gallons. Because, I mean, if it's down to 300 gallons, that's the low point, you got to buy fuel. And that's the high point of the fuel price. You're really, you know.
But typically, you just order like once a year. Sometimes twice a year. They might come out early. But the problem is out here is sometimes you can't get out here when the price is below it.
Okay.
And so what we need to do is buy enough fuel for our season. We spend our money, our budget money. But really, you should only have to order once a year.
So what's the low point that you have to order fuel?
It depends every day.
I think gallons before you have to order fuel.
We just bought a 4,000-gallon tank.
Okay.
We'll never probably fill that.
Okay.
Because we probably don't have enough money. But if we could fill it, right now would be the prime opportunity time. If we had the money to fill that thing as full as it could get, except for that diesel fuel, gas won't store that long. We made a decision. We're storing ethanol-free gas now instead of regular gas like we have been. It's going much longer, better for our equipment, everything else. So,
typical.
So you haven't answered my question. At what point is the bottom level where you have to order fuel?
I mean, when we're out?
When you're out, when you're going low.
If
so
we run out, we have to pay whatever price you get. You might not understand this question.
When there's 100 gallons left, is that when you order fuel? When there's 300 gallons left, is that when you order fuel? That's where I'm saying.
Depends on the time of year. So if we have
never had a set, hey, when it gets to this point, we got to order fuel.
Okay,
because
that's what I was understanding you were talking about. When it gets to the set point, you order fuel. But
no,
when
the price gets to the low point,
when
you order.
We historically have ordered fuel in like February or March, and that usually takes us through August or September. And then if we're really low at that point in time, down to 300 gallons, we'll get a little more because we don't want to store a bunch of fuel over the winter. So that's kind of what we've done in the past. Yeah, let's add that to the executive. Let's talk about how we handle that in our next meeting. Any other comments or questions before we end the meeting from the membership or anybody on the phone? Sorry, yelling through this mask. It's pretty much done my voice in. All right. Let's talk about next meeting, July. We're looking at July 11th or 18th. July meeting, we're looking at the 11th or the 18th. I think that we go with the 11th, right between the two holidays. I'm not positive I will be here, but I'll let somebody know. But let's plan on, if everybody's okay, unless there's an objection, let's plan on the 11th. That's the week after the 4th of July.
Good.
We'll have it, an executive session at 10:30, regular meeting at 11, held right here.
Good.
And I'm going to add to that meeting. It's first
Cool. Let's talk about what we can do. Unless there's anything else in this meeting, is adjourned.
I second the motion.
Amen.